Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. You're still listening to The Morning Crossfire right here at 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning. My name is Kofi Bartels. And of course, time check, 7 past 8 o'clock. And I'm sure some of you are already at work. Some are on their way to work. Some already are still at home listening to us. Some are in the traffic, listening in their vehicles or wherever it is you're listening from on your phone. It's good to know you are there. This morning, we want to look at what's been going on in the economy, especially with the cost of living, some of targeted cost of living crisis. I don't know if it's a crisis yet, but our guests would tell us. Lots of agitations, lots of conversations regarding the economy, particularly with the Naira enduring a very torrid and difficult time. This seems to be the most difficult that Nigerian Naira has had it in history, with the Naira sliding to record lows against the US dollar. Will the slide continue? Will it get better? Are the reforms that the Central Bank of Nigeria is implementing, are they going to yield results in the not too distant future? How long will we have to wait till the reforms start yielding results? I guess this morning on the Crossfire, we have Kalu Aja. He's a certified financial educator, always on Twitter, tweeting about the Nigerian economy. And, from the United States of America, he's here with us today in the studio right here in Lagos. Kalu, good morning to you. Welcome back home.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, and he's not a stranger to Nigeria Info. Voice some time ago, a regular feature on a station in Abuja.
Yep.
With Ofi.
Yeah.
So you're a friend of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to give you your own ID card.
I should have a pension, maybe.
Yes, indeed. You've been tweeting about Nigerian economic, financial issues from your base in the U.S., what would you say has been the reaction, the effect and the impact of that, especially as being someone who's not in the country? How do you perceive the situation, from outside?
Well, really what I'm trying to do is just education, more or less, to explain the concepts that people read about, what it means. So when you see fiscal, monetary, what does it all mean? Why is the Naira going up and down? That's really my intent, to give people an education so that way they can understand it and take action for their own personal wallet. In terms of the impact that I've seen, there's this sense of Nigerians believing that the Naira, for instance, could be stronger just by will or by if we just simply did a lot of, actions, the Naira would rise. That if the government did this or the government did that, the Naira would rise. That a falling Naira is because a few people are doing this or a few people are doing that. Which, it misses the point about the entire the way economy works and the way Naira works and the way exchange rate works. The exchange rate is the end of the policy. It's the exam results. The economy has got to take the exam, then you get the result, which is going to be the exchange rate. But we want to get the exam or the results without taking the exam, which is how the economy works, if you understand what I'm saying.
All right, so you've thrown yourself straight into the pool at the deep end. You're saying that we want to get results before the exam, but we have to write the exam.
Correct.
Before the, so in this case, what are the exams you're referring to?
Exports. Mm-hmm. Net exports. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with imports, but when you have net exports, we mean that you take out more or you earn more than you take out when you import, then your currency rises. So essentially, that's how it operates across the world. The economy is a net export and your currency rises.
All right. So what some economists would call balance of trade?
Balance of trade, however you want to call it, just send more, earn more than you pay out.
All right. So, is it close to production and consumption talk?
Kinda. I mean, consumption is not bad. You can consume and that creates wealth. As a matter of fact, the one of the problems Nigeria has is no consumption. We're not consuming in Nigeria. There's no wealth being created. So guys don't have a job. Comes and no manufacturing because Nigerians are not consuming. The point is, what are we then consuming? We're exporting crude oil and we're importing luxuries. That's where the problem is. We're not subsidizing the local side of the equation. Hence, we're exporting that wealth out and creating the consumption outside. Take PMS. We export crude oil. It's refined outside in Rotterdam. Then we import PMS. So the consumption, the actual wealth generation is done in Rotterdam. Then we then consume the end product here in Nigeria. So we lose out on that value addition here in the country.
So we have to, produce and export more than we import.
you've got to earn more than you pay out for import. Whatever you want to do. I mean, China is the largest, should we say, importer, maybe, and they're also the second largest exporter. So it's a net. The net effect, if you take out crude oil, if you export crude oil out, then you must make more from that than when you bring in PMS. But it's all reverse right now in Nigeria.
We're spending more to bring in than we are making from. So like a businessman or a family man who spends more money than he makes.
Something like that.
So
exactly.
Living above your means economically.
That's a different topic, but exactly, we're not earning enough.
Enough, okay. So interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. 0700-993-993-993. For all of you who like to engage in Kalu Aja on Twitter, a man is here. You can call in and talk to him. He's here in the flesh. 0700. Social media is quite interesting, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I'm torn between making this a personality discussion and talk about you and then the issues, but maybe some other time.
Sure.
Or we'll just mix it. Social media is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gives one a reach to get an impact out there.
Yeah.
I must say, you're one person who's been balanced, you know, and been effective in your commentary on X. Okay, let's go straight to the phone lines. Hello, good morning. 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Kofi, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Jonathan, thank
you.
My brother there, God bless you really good. God bless you really good. You see, that's what I just told Sheriff when I called now. It's very simple. For God's sake. For God's sake. I don't know why he's calling Soludo, calling all of them. I don't know. We have commodities. Take all these commodities off this forex. One, for crude, for fuel. I don't know why you cannot bring importation of fuel to zero. Then after you have done that, fix power. Then look at other commodities that we have here. Take it off the forex. Is it a difficult thing, for God's sake? And now you are not jumping for pillar to post. You are not doing what you are supposed to do first before you are not. I mean, my brother, God bless you very well again.
All right.
I wish they would listen.
Jonathan.
Enjoy your morning.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Good to hear from you. He was referring to the tripartite committee set up by Mr. President. We'll get to that. Let's get to that. What do you think about that? Just almost, I think when I had I saw the story and heard about Mr. President set up an economic advisory council. I reminded me of Donald Trump's economic advisory council as well. Is this a step in the right direction? I don't want you to be the president. You know, don't be diplomatic. Just say what you feel.
No, I saw it today. It's made up of state and a few high rollers and all that.
Yeah.
The point is, what advice the president takes? Buhari had a very, very powerful economic advisory committee as well with Rwanda and the rest. But did he take the advice? In the end, they can only advise; they can't implement. So it's really down to what advice he implements. The guys that are there, the private sector guys that are there, are very accomplished. So if they tell him, hey, we need to remove subsidies, or we need to do X, or we need to do Y, what does he take and implement? That's going to be key. Not really. That's just really it.
All right. The names we're seeing that I'm seeing on the list is
Elumelu,
Aliko Dangote, yep. Femi Otedola, mm-hmm. Amina Mena, that's the Vice President of Nigeria Economic Summit Group,
mm-hmm.
Boye Olusanya, that's mm-hmm. from Flour Mills,
mm-hmm.
Shegun Ajayi Kader, DG of Manufacturers Association of Nigeria, mm-hmm. Tony Elumelu,
mm-hmm.
he needs an introduction. Bismarck Rwane,
mm-hmm.
he's still there. You know, he said some things recently.
Yeah.
Adman doesn't take my calls. Samaila Zubairu is a very busy guy. Samaila Zubairu of AFC, Innocent Chukuma of Innocent. Jibril Adewale Tinubu at Owando.
Orlando.
Okay. His Excellency Charles Soludo, Anambra State Governor. His Excellency Dapo Abiodun, Ogun State Governor. Bisola Mikado, Sibin Governor, of course. Kola Additional. And Abdulkadir Aliu of BUA, I think. I see BUA at the bottom. Okay. Mm-hmm. So those are this is from the list of the clearance list. Someone captured the clearance list. Asurok, the clearance list or not. So you're saying if he takes the advice.
What advice does he take? They're going to give him good advice. But what would he take? Because in Nigeria, they marry the economic and the political.
Mm-hmm.
IMF has said remove subsidies on power. Okay, that's good. That's good plus and minus at the argument. But the politics, the reality on ground is that if you do that, you lose votes, you get people upset because costs go up.
All right. So the reality, the politics is you don't do that because you want to keep the votes and keep the goodwill.
Political capital is like a bank account. It goes easily.
Mm.
So you've got to marry it with. So when people feel good, they can sacrifice. And that's where optics come in. The optics right now is that the current administration is a spendthrift, that they're not really cutting back on their spending. So you can tell people to pay more for power when the senator says we can't cut a kobo from our expenses. Mm. We're importing SUVs. So the population is not going with them. Mm. There is no drive to say we're in this together. It's like they are doing their own thing, and then the people are suffering for that.
So it's saying one thing but doing the other thing.
Correct. People have to buy in.
If you were the head of the chief manager of the Nigerian economy, coordinating minister of the economy, IMF says cut electricity tariffs. Mm. You've done well cutting the petrol subsidy, but you're still paying money. Mm. You also need to take that. What are you going to say? What are you going to do?
Not now.
What are you going to tell the president?
It's good advice, but when is a question. When do you cut it? Nigerians are not consuming. This was at 2022. Not consuming. 23, not consuming. Costs have gone up. Wages have stayed flat. Inflation has gone up. So you cannot add more cost because it makes economic sense. I'm a capitalist, but you've got to be realistic and say, hey, we Nigerian households cannot afford it. Or you can cut it and give a subsidy somewhere else. Say, okay, we're going to give you free education, really free education, and you're going to pay more on power. But you just can't add that cost in. We still haven't recovered from the PMS subsidy removal, which is good, but you've got to give the palliatives. No economy increases cost 200% and says, hey, you can pay. This is a very, very poor. The people in Nigeria are very, very poor in terms of income. Per capita income is very, very low. You simply can't keep on adding costs on and on and on because it makes economic sense.
So it's a good idea from the IMF and the Bretton Woods institution generally, but it's not the right time to implement it. It's what you're saying.
We don't have the means or the capacity now. We're really low. People are dying over bags of rice.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. Interesting. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Kofi.
You're welcome. Name and contribution, please.
This is Pastor Ladipo.
Good to hear from you, Pastor.
This is from Morilego.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chief Guest.
Good morning.
I think you guys one of my questions straight away. The MEC access, how to say. My question is this. Why is President not involving any member of the legislators as part of that economic team, knowing fully well that they are also consuming more? They are consuming. So that is a question I would love to ask, because you can't tell me you are importing SUV of 460 million for over 300 and something people, and you said it will not have effect on the economy.
Right.
Yes, we are able to see reduction in their own lifestyle.
All right.
Is my question.
Thank you very much. Well, innocent is part of that economic advisory. That's a tripartite committee. But this is a committee to advise, not a committee of those who are part of the problem, from the way you're putting it. Mm. You know, why is the Naira where it is today? Apart from, is it just about the removal of subsidy on petrol? Could Nigeria have continued to subsidize petrol, though the IMF is saying we're still paying subsidy on petrol?
So three questions, right? So the number one, we're still paying subsidy. Mm-hmm. And number two, yes, we're paying subsidy. The Naira is where it is today because we're not exporting enough. We have net exports, but we're not exporting enough. Crude oil exports in Nigeria as at 2005 was about 2.2, 2.3 million barrels per day. Today is about 1.5, 1.7 million barrels per day. Just the math tells you that we're not exporting enough.
So it's not about removal subsidy?
No, that's just a cost. It's actually revenues to the government. But when you don't earn the US dollars in, then your foreign reserves cannot rise. Then you cannot defend the Naira. What we're seeing is the Naira falling, taking into account the fact that the exports are down. So it's falling to its natural position. And again, we do a lot of education outside the country, a lot of healthcare outside the country. So money is, that's imports. When you send your kid to school in London, you are importing. When you go to medical care in India, you are importing. So when you add all that up, we're not exporting enough. We have no foreign reserves to back up the Naira. Hence, it's going to its position, its real position.
So some people feel that Buhari's wasting means advances of 23
trillion.
3.8 trillion Naira. Though Akpabio said 30 trillion Naira is the reason the Naira is going through what it's going through today. What do you think?
I mean,
you can
argue that that money was in the system, then focuses it to demand for dollars, and that's why you see a huge surge in the dollars. You can make that argument. But the fact of the matter is, if you plot it out, If today we announced today that Nigeria has started to import 2 million barrels per day, the next day Naira is going to go up to about maybe 1,000 without any, with the same 20 trillion issues on ground. If you just announced 2 million barrels per day exports of crude oil, then Naira is just going to go back to 1,000.
Just announced. How so?
And it's real. If people believe it's real. If you sit here and Warren Buffett says, well, listen, we're going to invest $30 billion in Nigeria. We're going to invest in the stock market in Nigeria, $30 billion. Naira is going to go back up immediately because that's supply. So that's what the market is missing. Supply. The remittances are not coming in as much as they used to do in the past. The foreign portfolio investment are not coming in as it used to be in the past. FDIs are not coming in. Nigeria used to be on the JP Morgan Emerging Markets Bond Index, which means any pension manager that wants to invest in emerging markets would invest in Nigeria. We're no longer there. This is supply. So if those things come back, even with the bad news and the 23 trillion, the Naira gains value. It's net exports again. Just that's the key word.
All right, let's pick another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome. Name and contribution, please.
My name is Nena.
Welcome, Nena.
Hello, Kofi.
Welcome,
the other
Nena.
Day I called on your radio station and I asked about the fact that the crude oil has been bought and paid for in advance. It was confirmed to be true. Should we allow this to keep happening? Because if the previous president can do that, which country bought it? So that if we are rioting here and they're complaining here, we should go and complain at their embassies, wherever they are. Why will you put the money of the whole country to one person and then the person now lives with it?
Right.
Do you understand me? And
right.
Then why is custom adding money? Why is the cost of services increasing in Nigeria in this present situation? At the airport, you see increase. At customs, even for them, for the clearing to be done in dollars. And people are wondering what is happening. And they're pretending not to know. Why should services increase in Nigeria? Why? What new have they done?
All right. So you're talking about the customs FX rate. Also talking about
apart from FX rate increase. Mm. Because once somebody clears with a very high rate, he was going to add it to the, and then it's going to go down to the people.
Mm. All
it's
right.
as simple as that. And we're wondering why things are increasing.
Mm. All right. Also talking about the crude swap deal.
Yes.
In the days
I don't know
of,
what swap or whatever
yeah.
swap, but
Thank
who
you.
Took that money?
Thank you very much. We're out of time. We'll have to go for a quick break. We'll be back so that our guest, Kalu Aja, can answer, give us thoughts on what you just said. We'll be right back. Still with Morning Crossfire, how to end the Naira's woes. Our guest, Kalu Aja, is with us. Stay with us.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. In case you thought we were done, no, we're still here. We just had to pay our bills, but we're back with the Morning Crossfire. My name is Kofi Bradhills. For the next 18 minutes, we'll be talking and running off with our guest this morning, Kalu Aja, a certified financial educator, here to talk about ending the Naira's woes. How do we end the struggles and the woes, the disappointment, the bad spell of the Naira? Someone says it was first tax 77. That's what Naira is good.
Did you? Oh my God. Yeah.
Anyway, 0700-993-993-993, number to call. Don't forget, one plate at NG is giving 10,000 Naira to five lucky winners this morning. All you have to go do is to go to the website www.oneplay.ng. That's number one. And then the word play.ng, and you can click on the box that has a Nigeria Info logo that says Nigeria Info 99.3, that's 99.3, and then you can play for either 500 Naira or more, as the case may be. And before we go, we'll do the live draw right here in the studio. So, hey, get clicking. All right, go to www.oneplay.ng. Before I leave the studio, I'll do the live draw, and you might just win a 10,000 Naira. All right, how about that? For just playing for 500 Naira. Talking about ending Naira's woes, I want to read some messages here. 0700-993-993-993. Seems to be having an issue with the WhatsApp. We'll try and see if it can come up later. Kalu Aja, let's answer the lady's question before we went on the break. She asks about the crude swap program under the Buhari administration, where Nigeria was giving out a crude oil to get petrol back. I remember at some time, Malam Medakari, head of the GMD of NNPCL, went to meet the president when he said he couldn't remove subsidy. Okay, you want to keep paying subsidy, this is a bill. You have to add XYZ amount of $1 million to us so we can continue to sustain it. So is that one of the things that, you know, led us to where we are as far as the Naira is concerned?
Yeah, well, we spent our wealth, our oil wealth, on a PMS subsidy we could not afford. So essentially what Nigeria was doing was that we give out crude oil, and in return, we swap it for PMS. But the differential in price means that we still have to, when it lands in Lagos, we still have to subsidize the cost to bring it down to the retail price. So the retail price was fixed. So if it lands in Lagos at, say, 600, we have to then pay a subsidy to reduce that 600 to the retail price in Nigeria. That's what NNPC was doing. And that's what you hear, the cost of subsidy was those trillions and all. So the NNPC, instead of remitting money to the FARC to be shared to the state and the federal, was then paying a subsidy. So you heard the former CBN governor Mefele saying, I've not gotten any money from the NNPC. That's what it's all about. So the swap deals act, there's nothing wrong with swap deals. Everyone in the world does swap deals. It's just that we can't afford it because oil is priced in dollars, and anything imported, Nigeria really can't afford it. So unfortunately, that subsidy should have gone a long time ago.
So some people say the president was wrong to say subsidy is gone. No, he wasn't around, removed it anyway. But you're saying it should have been done a long time ago.
Should have been gone since Goodluck's times.
All right. Yeah. So you agree with that policy?
Of course, yeah. The president was right to have removed it. The problem that they did was that they did not do the palliative. I'm talking to Tinubu now. He was right to remove it 100%, but he wasted time on the palliatives, and he let the pain come before that policy kicked in. So he should have removed it immediately, and immediately also passed the palliatives. We're talking about 8,000 naira back then. That was nonsense, you know. But he had done the buses, the CNG buses, immediately, gotten all those stuff in place. When you remove the subsidy, people see, okay, we had Shaw P back then. They had buses in Abuja and all. Do the exact same thing, but it didn't. The pain came, now they've pulled back on the subsidy. That's what's really happened.
Okay, how about the whole issue to do with the BDC operators or the Forex Bureau operators? I read about the Minister of Information and National Orientation saying that the Forex speculators and unscrupulous individuals are sabotaging the Nigerian economy.
That sounds like Soviet Russia, where you blame the foreign imperialists for everything. The fact is this. Speculators only come when there's no supply. When there's no supply, have you ever heard anyone saying, I'm speculating on pure water? None, because pure water is everywhere. When the dollar is rising, it's because there's no supply of dollar. So speculators come in. What you need to do is to devalue or depreciate whatever it is, and then ensure there's supply or face demand. But Nigeria is spending too much on things we should not spend money on. Hence, the reserves are falling. Hence, the speculators know exactly how much you have and how much you can defend the naira with, and then they'll come in and attack.
All right, so you're saying that the speculators have no are doing the wrong thing, but they are only taking advantage of government's inability to do the right thing.
It's like blaming a spoon for making you fat. That's what they're doing. The speculators are basically taking advantage of the fact that you have a fixed or a peg in place and not having a free market. If you allow the market to be free, the dollar goes to where it wants to go. Eventually, there'll be demand destruction on the dollar side, which means that people will say, I can't afford a dollar-linked product. I'm going to look for a substitute, which is going to be a Nigerian-linked product, which means the government should focus on local production to make substitutes cheaper. So then if you can't buy foreign rice, you then buy local rice. The problem is that there is no local substitute.
But some Nigerians are saying they want foreign rice. Buhari tried his best to make sure that we have local rice.
Nigerians don't care about if it's foreign or they just want it to be cheap. They don't care if it's foreign or local. Just make it cheap. Right now, it's cheaper the imports are cheaper. So they buy the imports. It's not really a matter of if it's local or foreign. Doesn't matter. If it's cheaper because our wages are 35,000 a month and it hasn't gone up for years, I want to get it cheaper. The household lady that does the buying wants the best bang for her family. If she goes to the shops and she can get this for this price, she will buy it.
But we go for that cheaper thing. If I'm going by your theory, which you started with, which is we need to get a healthier net export. Then even if the imported rice is cheaper than the locally produced rice, which can even be exported, we buy the cheaper one, we'll harm our economy and the naira in the long run.
Essentially, if Kebbi rice was available and cheaper, nobody would buy Uncle Ben's rice. The problem is that Uncle Ben's rice is cheaper if you bring it up
Port imported rice
than Kebbi to Lagos. So if you import rice from India or Thailand to Apapa Port, it's cheaper than bringing it from Kebbi to Lagos. Bad roads, bandits, fertilizer, insecurity, high cost of capital. If you add all that together, it makes the local products expensive. Power, look at the street. Everyone's using a generator. So the cost of power is added to every product in Nigeria. Imagine if we had 24/7 power. It's a 25% pay cut off all Nigerian products. That means they can compete with imports. Americans don't use generators to make rice.
Interesting. So look, let's look at the forex operators themselves. Are they a problem? Part of the problem we're having. CBN now has slammed a 2 billion naira license fee on BDCs, and they're already, complaining about it.
Mm.
Some time ago, we heard something wanted to go on protest. Are they part of the problem?
I think they have, like banks, you could see that they are facilitators. Like, some people accuse them of being facilitators of this wholesale, take naira and buy dollars. That's what they've been accused of. What the CBN wants to do now is to sanitize that sector. So the ultimate aim, if you look at that guideline, it's talking about if you want to then buy or sell dollars, they would know who you are. You can't even do more than $500. You're going to get a card if you do more than $500. So the CBN is going to know exactly who is buying dollars, who is spending dollars, where you are spending it on, and where the source of those dollars come from. If you do that, that removes the criminal or the corruption element from the trade. If you come into Nigeria from America and you've got dollars and you want to get, you go to the BDC, give them $1,000, they give you a card and $500. That's fine. But if you're a politician that has just taken your FARC, it's going to be harder for you to then go to a BDC and say, I want to change 1 billion naira to dollars. That's where they are going to with all this.
But as it is with this country, people always find a way around things.
Mm-hmm.
So will these reforms work as far as operating a Forex Bureau in Nigeria is concerned?
You make it harder. Right now it's so easy. If I have 1 billion naira cash, I can go on the streets and change to dollars. It's so easy. When this is done in place, you make it harder, like how we have the BVN, you have the NIN. It's harder for you to then cycle money out. If you go to the United States and you want to take monies from the bank above a certain limit, your name is captured. It's sent to the IRS.
I heard so. You can't even withdraw from an ATM all you want. I heard so. That Naira scarcity time.
Correct.
Redesign time. Someone said so.
That's why it's not they are cleaner or more honorable than Nigerians, but they make corruption very hard. If you have $1 million, where do you take it to? You can't take it to a bank. You can't buy a house. You can't buy a car because everything is all linked. You buy a house, your social security number. You buy a car, that's an asset you have to pay taxes on. So all these politicians around, if you start to focus on their tax returns and say, declare your tax returns, not your assets income, your tax returns that you pay, what are you paying taxes on? You won't have a minister that owns a company that gets a contract from another ministry because he has to declare that income on his tax returns or the tax return of his company.
So you've gone back to this economic sabotage, and you seem to be saying indirectly that these guys are, some of these acts are harming the economy, and we need to focus on them as well. I'm comparing that with your spoon and fat analogy.
Nigeria is not efficient. Why? Tax revenues are very low in Nigeria, and it's low because we don't know who you are. I can say my name is Mohammed Idris Kalu. I can get a passport with that name, go and buy currency or PC, open an account and all that. So we have data everywhere, biometrics, but it's not linked together. So if you go to the States, your driving license is linked to your bank account, linked to your social, so they know who you are.
Well now I saw a message on my bank app, 1st of March 2023, if your NIN and BVN together are not linked to your account, they'll shut it down.
That's good.
And one of the network has been sending messages to his customer. I don't know why they're the only ones, doing that. But the BDCs, some of them sell this dollar at a parallel market rate.
Yes, let's be clear, right? What the price the BDCs have is the real price. That's the market-determined price. You and I, willing buyer, willing seller.
They get it from the government, don't they?
Why should they get it from the government? Government is this fixed price. The government is trying to make the price as low as possible. Mm-hmm. But you and I are setting the real price. The problem with the BDCs is that the BDCs have been accused of taking their pricing from, say, Binance. The crypto, the P2P boys are the ones setting the price for Nigeria. That's the problem that the government is having.
Who sets the price for the parallel guys?
mostly the P2P, the Binance and all that. Because when you go there, it's an exchange.
Okay, the peer-to-peer guys.
Yeah, you quote, you bid. That quote and bid is what then serves as a price. So if you and I want to trade and we say at a 1.6, then the guys on the parallel market guys say, oh, it's 1.6 on Binance. They sell to you at 1.6. So the government is saying you
but
can't
how
use
does
that.
The parallel market guy, you know, in Rumokoro, or let me say at Presidential Hotel Road in Port Harcourt, know anything about Binance?
These guys are all linked. I mean, it's a skit where there's a guy on his phone calling a guy to check how much is the dollar point you change. So really, they are all linked.
They're linked.
One guy in the office would pass the message, this is the price now, and they just reset.
So that therefore ties to my theory for some years now, even before Binance became a thing, that this is all a cartel.
Well,
because if you say they're all linked,
kind of
because Kalaja, you are a market guy, you know, you believe in free market and all that. You said that the law of supply and demand, the law of what do you call it again, market forces now, says that the prices depend determine what market forces, demand and supply. Now I always say demand and supply can't be the same everywhere at the same time.
True.
Your demand for USD in Potisco.
True.
It can't be the same as the demand for USD. So how come all the prices are the same on the same day at the same time everywhere in the country?
You're right. It's kind of a cartel, but that's what when you digitize, that's what it ends. Because now on your phone, you can buy and bid and see the arbitrage and take advantage of it. So digitization actually helps you to see price discovery quicker. And it removes digitization, yeah.
Who sets the price? Before Binance, was setting the price?
When you and I want to buy and sell, you quote, I bid, that is the price. The system will capture, you want to buy at one, I want to sell at two. When we keep on bidding, the system matches.
I'm talking about guys on the street.
That's what I'm saying. Before Binance done, a guy will sit down and say, he's getting bids from Kano, he's getting bids from Port Harcourt. Then he will say, okay, Port Harcourt wants to buy at 1,000, Kano wants to buy at 1,005, 1,002.
Okay, so where do these guys get the USD from? Because you and I go to the bank, you don't see it.
Unofficially, they get it from the same source the bank get it from. Someone gets it officially and passes it to them unofficially. So that's what's actually going on.
You know, so somebody gets it officially at an official rate and then gives it to the guys to go on the street, sell it higher.
Yep.
And make more money.
Yep. That round tripping. So you say you want to import machinery for $1,000, but you actually need $500. So you take your $500 and you set it at $500. Yeah.
So it means these guys are part of the problem then.
Yeah, they are part of the problem, but they are taking advantage of Nigeria's porous regulations, and we don't basically know who is who. Now we have BVN, we have NIN. It's easier now. Remember in the past, there was no BVN, no NIN. So I could basically go and get 100 passports and apply for 100 BTA and then get $400,000 myself, and then sell $400,000 because I'm getting at the controlled price from CBN.
That's basic travel allowance.
Personal travel allowance, yeah, and then just sell it. So that was, you could do that, or you get your friend's passports together, say, hey, just give me your passport, and you apply for PTA for them. They don't travel, you give them maybe 100,000 naira. That's what people were doing. So now that it's all tied in, CBN can say, Kalu can't travel to America 50 times in one day because, you know, they know my BVN, my NIN, and all that. So this regulation of BVCs will remove that part of the market. It won't increase supply. It will sanitize the speculation, the criminal elements. That would work, was what will happen, which is good for the market. But speculators are not the reason why the Naira is falling. Let's forget that idea. The Naira is falling because we do not export enough. The speculators are taking advantage of that to then make money off the demand, the excessive demand for dollars.
Because I always ask, you know, why my colleagues in the print media always put on the front page, Naira sells at parallel market, but they don't put the INE. They don't put the official rates.
Official rates is not a real rate. I mean, I'm just saying it out here, honestly. Whatever the government sets cannot be real because the government is not trading with you.
But at least you put it. That's official now.
CBN used to publish the weighted average rate on their website, which was not, if you look at it, it's about, was 700, markets doing 1-2. No one takes that seriously. That's why everyone went to Aboki FX and all that kind of stuff.
Calvin, journalism, if the police says 20 people died, and someone comes and says 50 people died, I wasn't there, At least I'll say police searching every time.
That is true.
As a newspaper now, I only put for 10 years, 20 years, I'm putting black market red on my front page.
I got you. But if someone gave me $100 to give to his mom in Nigeria, the mom says she wants the actual $100 bill. She doesn't want me to. So the son says he will give you whatever exchange rate you want. Mom says she wants the actual $100 bill from me. Doesn't want the naira paid it to her account at whatever rate. Even if I give her a 2,000, she wants the actual $100 bill. Why? Because she wants to. She feels she can get a better rate herself when she sells. So if you go to America, the government doesn't set prices. They can intervene, but they don't set the exchange rate. What the CBN should be doing is to say, we will intervene when we feel the market is high and sell dollars to crash the price.
All right. So you are for getting in and intervening with this Binance situation now. And, going into the Forex, the Bureau de Changes or Forex Bureaus, and arresting some of them and all that, you think that...
No, I...
Because you're talking about this speculation.
I think that you should clean the place up and make it... Clean sanitize the place up. But that does not help the Naira. It takes away the criminal element, it makes it cleaner, it takes away the corruption. But that's chasing the wrong cat down the hole, you know, where it's shiny object speculation.
One of the rats now.
One of the rats. But let's say there's no Binance, not today. Will Naira fall?
Okay, a quick one. The MPC is meeting first time under Cardozo. Should they take the interest rate up or down?
They are going to take it up. They are going to take it up because they have to stop inflation and also attract money to Nigeria. So it's going to go up.
Quite interesting. We're pressed for time. I'm sorry for the WhatsApp messages. I don't know what's been going on with my internet here. But this one, okay, I'm seeing one here. Olusoga Jai from Odola Kredu says, the onslaught against forex dealers by security agencies has actually helped in preventing the total collapse of the Naira. How this can be sustained is another matter. Thank you so much. It's good to hear from you. Another one says, this is a general contribution of what we're talking about. Carl, it's been great to have you.
Same here.
Final statement from you. Maybe in 30 seconds, advice to CBN.
Optics matter. Yeah. Cut the spending. Get serious. Optics matter. Sometimes it's just the optics. Right. People have to feel that they are in this game with you. Yep.
All right. Interesting. Barrister Max from Ikoyi says, the problem of Nigeria's declining economy is not lack of production or exportation, but bad leadership and policies. 9 years ago, before APC took over, he says, dollar was 160 before Tinubu came in last year. Dollar was 470. Today's 1.7. Are you telling me this is due to sudden lack of export or production? I wish you had time to look at that, but I think you've addressed all that already. We have to go. Kalaja, thank you very much for your time.